And we would trade those pills even when we were drinking till 4 in the morning when the bars closed on 3rd Avenue in New York. And then we'd go outside and beat the shit out of one another, fighting, punching him and then punching me. And so here I am this day going past the bar, and I see him in there, and I figured, well, maybe I'll just have one. Beer was about 15 cents, and then I go in and have a beer.
Just have a beer, this one.
So I go in and talk to him, and Tommy later got sentenced to 7.5 to 15 at Sing Sing, and he died after being only in there 3 years with cancer in his stomach. So he's in there, and I go in, we start rapping, and he was out on bail when I was talking about him.
Yeah.
But I spent the whole day with him, blew all the money for the electric and we're going to have candles again for another month or so.
Oh.
And then I went home that night, but the miracle was that I was very tired, but I wasn't drunk. And my mother would always make a cup of tea for me or so, and put me to bed. She worried, and you know, she's up half the night, the poor thing, then having to go to work all day long. And so it was just the two of us living in the tenement. And someplace during the night, that night, when I would pass out after a drunk like that, I'd be gone for probably a full day of sleeping and trying to get up and get rid of it. But I woke up, and there was on the wall of this small bedroom that we had, and was an apparition that came on that wall. I've seldom ever talked about this.
Hmm.
But that apparition was real.
Wow.
There was something very powerful, a spiritual apparition. I don't know whether it was angels or what. But anyway, I know it was something in that room, and it wasn't hallucinating or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And later that morning, when I had the idea of maybe calling AA again, and I called AA, and that Mary McMahon is the one that answered the phone. And she says, "Is this Bill Dooner? We've been reading enough about you. Are you coming in now?" and I did. And that was April the 7th. And I got into AA, and that's when I met Jim Gribble, the guy from Nashville, at this Monday night Rhinelander meeting in New York, and the rest is history. But he became my sponsor then, and he's a very active guy. He had 5-6 guys, I think I told you, all pigeons of his at one time. He's a great leader.
Yeah.
He's a giant of a guy. He looked like, what you think, Little Abner would look like, a big star down his front. And had a powerful story as well. But anyway, and I stayed sober for just over 3 months, and I'd been offered a job in Chicago by A.C. Nielsen.
Uh-huh.
I took the job and actually deferred starting with him for about 3 extra weeks so that I could get my 90 days in.
Mm-hmm.
So, went out to Chicago, and then the rest is history. In Chicago, last thing in the world I ever wanted to do is to have another drink. I had been sober now at that time just over 3 months, from April the 7th until July 18th, which is the date I went out to Chicago. And but when I got to Chicago, and the guy and the living facility that was, there's a rooming house, and the guy pulls the bottle of Jim Beam out of the refrigerator, and that's all she wrote for the drink. Got fired, of course, from the job after it paid me for 9 days. I think I showed up for about 3 of them. And that was the end of that. And then, of course, the rest of the story happens on Skid Row, and then finally, eventually, meeting Father Mac. And sober ever since that night in the flop house.
Did you notice much of a difference between Chicago? What was your home group in Chicago?
Home group in Chicago was Water Tower, but my home, that was because my sponsor made it his home group. And my home group was the Skid Row group, which was called West Loop. I met in Ashland, at Line, I think, Ashland, Ashland and Madison. It's called the West Loop Group. We had everybody in that group if somebody came off Skid Row.
Huh. Was that a requirement or just...
No. It wasn't a very fancy place, but we did have a little room upstairs above this drugstore. Mm-hmm. And they had some of the guys in that group were really legends. So, one of the guys, the machine gun, Cabone's headquarters in Cicero.
Nice.
In 1927 or whatever the hell it was. But we had the guy who was chairman of the group, who started the group actually, was a guy named Charlie Slate. He was a guy that became vice president of Beckley Carty Corporation, a big school and supply company. And he'd been on Skid Row for over 30 years. 30 or so. The first nice looking guy, he'd been on Skid Row in San Francisco, Chicago, Detroit, all over. But he made it. How are we doing? I need to get a smoke, first of all.
Oh.
Desperately need to get a smoke.
Can
we continue this at another time? Or
absolutely.
You set the time aside for anything other?
Do you want to do it? Give me another day and time you're available.
I've got to go through two radiation treatments, you know.